7, currently at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Beautiful start to this Wednesday morning. Temperature stands at 69 degrees. Plenty of sunshine to start off your day. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up on the program in the second hour, we'll be joined in studio by the executive director of the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation and the Grant Theater, Sean Wright. We were supposed to have Sean last week to talk about the announcement of the 2023-2024 schedule at the Grant Theater. Really an impressive schedule again for the next year. But it was an interesting moment because right in the middle of the show, we had an inspection from the Wausau Fire Department. They came in to check out to see whether or not the fire extinguishers were working. And apparently when the inspector left, he accidentally locked the door. And Sean was coming in right as he was left because all of a sudden I'm waiting and I'm on the air and I'm thinking, well, where's Sean? Where's Sean? And then I check my email and he says, well, I'm sorry, Chad. I came and the door was locked, so I left. I thought, oh. Number one, Sean, push the button. I got a light here. But number two, it's like, oh, man. So today we will break down the Grant Theater schedule with Sean right now.
Hopefully the fire department doesn't come in for another checkup. So.
Hey, and the thing is, that's not my voice. That's across the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. My intro. No, it's all good. Joining us here in the first hour, Bob. Look, Bob, good to see you again.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, first day of summer starts in less than an hour. I mean, officially.
Less than an hour. Okay, very good.
A little before nine.
And the thing about you, I think we may have touched on this previously, you're working early mornings and coming in, and in the summertime, it's nice. I tell you, it's nice. Oh. It's great to go outside when that sun is just rising, have that little bit of coolness on the skin as you head off to work, as opposed to 6 months from now, it'll be completely different.
Yeah,
but beautiful start here. And this, this is the time of year you love being here in central Wisconsin.
Well, it is outstanding. And this is the stuff that when in the middle of all that snow and all that cold in the middle of the winter, we're always whining about, oh, I wish it would be warm up. Now when it starts getting there, people, it's getting too warm.
Are you implying that people whine too much?
No.
Complain about everything and anything?
You're never going to please everybody. That's the name of the game.
I will say we do need some rain. We do need some rain. Yeah. I mean, it really has been. You look around the state of Wisconsin. In fact, every time I just go around looking at different sites around the state, it's significantly below normal. So again, we encourage folks that are going out camping and using matches or fire in any way, be careful out there because it really is a high level of fire danger throughout central Wisconsin and the state of Wisconsin right now because of how dry it is.
I don't know if I said this the last time I was here, but I had a neighbor by me. We were talking over the fence, back and forth. And
people still do that? People still talk?
Yeah, he had to catch me in the backyard. I caught him. He's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, fine. And so he says, man, those fires in Canada, all that smoke, that's just terrible. Oh, just, messing up the air and everything. I agree with you. Yeah, he says, hopefully we'll be able to get some rain, for that area to stop that. Nice small talk. And I went back to what I was doing in my yard, and I look, and what's he doing? He's loading up his fire, his burn barrel.
Yeah.
His burn pit to start up a fire. when he just got done complaining to me about the fire and the smoke that was being caused by Canada. And I went, okay.
Are you also saying there's a disconnect sometimes between what people say and what people do?
I'm just pointing out an observation. I'm not making any judgments. I just kind of went, you know, when you hear somebody, you know, and they have their complete, I mean, people have beefs and they have points they want to make.
Yeah.
You listen and you take it all in. But then after a while, you take in for where the source is getting this information and or what they're telling you. And you just kind of go, well, you can either just sit there and argue with someone who is arguing something with not based in facts, mm-hmm. and waste your time. Or you can just turn around and say, I don't care what you think, and walk away.
Right.
And they, that gets them more nuts when you say, I don't care what you think. Oh, I have a right to. Yeah, you have a right to say it, but I don't have a right. I don't have to listen to you because you're just full of BS.
Well, we're going to start talking about some issues, and I think people out there are going to be saying that in just a few moments, sure. as well. So plenty to talk about. The governor was in town yesterday,
yep.
Signing some legislation. We'll talk about that coming up and plenty more. We have to take a quick two-minute timeout, then we'll come back, delve into the news and the views. And if you want to join in as well, write down this number. We will let you join our conversation at 715-298-1248.
Or if they want to reach me on Twitter, my Twitter handle is really easy, @BobLook. That shows you how early I was on Twitter.
I had to add a WI to mine. I add Chad Holmes WI. You can do that as well. So we're going to come back with Bob Look, talk about what's going on around the area and the state, and delve into some different areas coming up. And again, Sean Wright coming up at about an hour from now at 9:15. Glad you could join us. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Wednesday, June the 21st. As Bob Look let us know, enjoy the last few minutes of spring as summer getting underway this morning. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
You just had the meteorologist on, and yeah, I posted yesterday I was going to be on with you today and yesterday. And who was the first person to make a smile or a thumbs up? Was Nikki Lactola.
Oh, that name rings
a
bell.
She used to be with this group when I was working down in Wisconsin Rapids,
right?
You know, and we had the same service for the meteorological thing, and she was one of our regulars on the morning show, and she's now up in Canada, married, and a little baby there that she's taking care of, and all that kind of stuff. So that was cool.
It is cool.
You know, from Canada, she's going, "Oh, great, he's going to be on the radio." You know.
Yesterday, the governor made a trek into Wausau. It was one of, I think, three stops he made around the state of Wisconsin to try and talk about the compromise bills that the governor, along with leadership of the Republicans in the state legislature, came to an agreement with in terms of shared revenue, in terms of education funding. And the mayor of Wausau was on tap, and real quickly, Mayor Rosenberg will be here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And I was wondering when I first got word the other day that, the governor has to reschedule. She was supposed to be on yesterday. Oh, I guess the governor is a little bit more.
Yeah, that does sometimes. When the word comes down the pike, and Senator Baldwin or Governor Evers is going to send, and next thing you know, it's okay, whatever was on my agenda, gone, you know.
And the thing about yesterday as well, before we actually talk about the issues, is the fact that along with the mayor, it was bipartisan.
Yes.
It was bipartisan, as we had members of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party on hand. There was a sense of a celebratory mood that I don't know if I really am part of. And I know and I understand completely the idea of compromise when it comes to an issue like this. Because, I mean, you only have so much capital to work with when you're dealing with 2/3 majorities in both the Assembly and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, before we, you know, kind of go into, you know, the meeting, as you've heard about, number one, the shared revenue aspect and also the education aspect, what jumps out about it? Do you look at it as a positive, a rare example of bipartisanship working exceptionally well, or do you feel like, man, there's still some areas here that, you know, after 12 years of austerity, it's a step forward, but boy, we still have a lot of work.
Well, first of all, the GOP had to, because they're not dumb. They can read poll data as anyone can, where their size of the issue that they're taking are in the minority. And not just in the minority, you know, overall in the state, where the gerrymandered districts, they can get away with it. Even Republicans have said, you know, this has to be fixed. This has to be changed. There's got to be some middle of the ground, you know, to meet with it. So I think that it was basically the of election survival was suddenly festered upon the vast majority of GOP hardliners, who just realized, like, my constituents, this and that. But is it a full rung? No, but it's a start.
Well, what I'll say is I agree 100% they see these numbers, but it comes down to, and again, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm cynical about this, but it feels like, how much can we do, or how should I say, how little can we do to make it look like we're actually doing something? Because at the same time, and I got this fear, and I discussed it slightly with Pat Kreitlow when I joined him for a segment of his show yesterday, is that you look at it where after, you know, 10, 12, 14 years of austerity within the government, you take one step forward in this area, but yet there's some I would call them almost poison pills in all this legislation. Right. It feels like they're hoarding money, and the next shoe to drop is we have not heard about yet the ultimate tax reform plan that we've heard rumbles about, the idea of either a flat tax or major tax cuts for the wealthiest in Wisconsin. It does feel like part of this, in this surplus era, you have, again, number of other issues where they're zeroing out, you know, in terms of proposals from the governor and Democrats. There feels like there's a big pile of this surplus still hanging out there that they're going to try to use in tax reform, as they would call it.
Well, again, a lot of times politicians and that will throw out flat tax. It'll be
fairness.
And everyone thinks, yeah, great idea, great. But then when it comes down to, well, what's 15% of somebody making $30,000 a year as opposed to 15% from somebody making $30 million a year? And it's like, and how much is left over? You know, does that seem... You know, because that 15% and that the numbers don't jive with the outside world, because that gallon of gas is the same price to a rich person as it is to someone who's being paycheck by paycheck.
The number of regressive taxes. I mean, you just look up and down the line.
Sales taxes and things of that nature.
Yeah. Even Social Security tax, where there's an upper limit where, you know, if you or I would be paying 100% of our salaries into the Social Security Trust Fund, which is obviously something that we like to have. But then, you know, those folks who are making, $169,000 or whatever.
$144,000 a year above that of that limit, they don't get anything taken out of for Social Security or for FICA.
Exactly, but it just feels like, you know, we have not heard that aspect of the budget process yet, and there feels like again when you see the issues involving funding for childcare or funding for broadband, but they're not just cutting, they're zeroing it out. There's still a lot of this surplus left. I'm just waiting for the shoe to fall.
The next day after the announcement about dropping the broadband and
at 2:30 in the morning, of course.
Yeah, and that morning I went on my phone and went onto the internet, and I basically just couldn't get any kind of signal at my house. It's always this hit and miss, and
even
I just
myself,
went, and,
yeah,
I, and,
yeah.
I, and,
yeah.
I, and I'm looking at that and I'm going, and they can't upgrade. Like, I'm in a rural area. No, I live in a village. There's neighbors this way. We're not in the middle of nowhere, but we don't have a population density that companies feel is worth the money or profit margins to even bother with.
I'm glad it's not just me, because literally I'll get a call myself And people say, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I have to walk
around. Same thing with mine.
I have to walk outside sometimes to get a, you know, hey, okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah. I go.
And you think what's bad for us, again, you think about areas, you know, throughout north central Wisconsin. It's just.
But think about it from this point. You know, all of a sudden, I have an emergency at my location, or somebody has an emergency at their location. They don't have landlines anymore. They grab their cell phone, hit 911, and the phone looks at you or like, oh, can't get any service, or we can't get, you know, your call cannot be completed as dialed. I was like that little line. And then,
I haven't heard this in a long time, but back, you know, the hardline era, again, sound like an old guy here. When you have that automated message, and then it had that terrible sound at the end of it, almost to add insult to injury.
Yeah. Get off the phone.
This cringy, ding, ding. I mean, just, you know, when you said that, it just brought that back. You know?
It's not like Mayberry, you know, Sadie, get me Sheriff Taylor. You know, it doesn't happen that way.
By the way. That was Sarah. And how did she work 24/7? I tell you, every time they'd try to make a call, Sarah would be there. I just found that always so, because I've seen every Andy Griffith show
20 times. Well, in Mayberry, no one would call anyone after dark.
Oh, I guess
you should realize that it's just Southern ways of doing things. You just don't do that.
What do you think is going to happen tax-wise? I mean, just based on what we've seen negotiation, I want to get back into this issue, but I brought that up because... Again, it's one of those major, because when you talk to Republicans, you hear from Republicans, every single election, you can count on them saying that tax cuts are the answer. And they're going to fight right now with coming up in the next few weeks. What do you think is going to happen here? Will the governor be able to do something here?
Well, he does have, you know, the veto power, which is very important, and line item vetoes, which is very important. I think that the other side, the GOP, more than anything else, is waiting to see what the state Supreme Court may be doing if they put on their agenda about taking up this maps, fair maps, districts, and that. And all of a sudden, if they turn around and say, we got to redo these districts and, you know, make them fair, mm-hmm. and that's going to change the whole outlook of how the GOP is going to like lay out this tax plan and that, because they may be not talking to a guaranteed vote of people. It might be a lot closer, and they might have to be a little bit more negotiated and a little bit more compromised.
But then again, on the other hand, if they feel like coming down the pike in the near future will be major changes to the maps, and of course, it won't be an overnight thing.
No,
and that's one of the things. But maybe they think, hey, we better do it now in this session, because 2 years from now, when we try to come back for the next 2-year budget cycle, the lay of the land will be much different. Maybe I think they may just say, hey, we got to do it right now. We're going to do what it takes to get it through right now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I honestly do have faith in the electorate, that when people take a look at things, you know, reasonably, and just look at both sides, they're going to say, oh, this was kind of a, you know, harebrained idea, and you know, they may pass it now, but it may not last that long after that. That's kind of like how I feel about things like the Act 10 deal that was rammed through not that long ago. The right to work state, you know, things. There's a lot of things that, because they're labeled with such a positive Act 10, like it's something important, or right to work. Oh, who doesn't want right to work?
Yeah.
But if you look at what it is doing, and also you hear so many legislators and political leaders throughout the state, we have a brain drain going here in the state of Wisconsin. Okay, well, what are you doing to help prevent that? Oh, we're just going to take away child care support for people to so they can do their jobs and work and be a part. And, you know, if somebody, you know, nowadays, we're in the 21st century. People can up and move and go and be anywhere very easily. And they can find employment sometimes where they could just have to sit on their laptop at home and doing it. Those industries or those businesses that require you to be on the premises are going to have to realize that things are not going to be that easy to find quality workers. It's going to cost them. And it's not going to cost them, you know, that. But if they're going to have to be in business and if they have to be competitive, they're going to have to look for quality employment. This is an employee advantage right now, which hasn't been for a while.
No, it has not. And I think people are realizing it as well. That's mm-hmm. something we've seen in the last couple of years.
I think COVID had a lot to do with opening up a lot of eyes.
Hey, we really are important, a lot of people are saying.
Correct.
We got to take a quick time out. We'll come back. We have a news update coming up, and then we'll have more with Bob Look. The time is 8:28 here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. The time is 8:33. Beautiful start here in central Wisconsin at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Plenty of sunshine, temperature around 70 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes with Bob Look here in the first hour of the program. And Bob, one of the other aspects that was the reason for the event yesterday here in Wausau, mm-hmm. I know in Chippewa Falls as well. It's funny, I just got a text from Pat Kreitler said, I just found out the governor was also in Chippewa Falls yesterday. What's going on here? the education aspect. And let's start with the secondary aspect. Because Robin Voss has made his new cause celeb going after the UW system. But, again, it's one of those compromises where public schools did receive additional mm-hmm. funding. But, boy, the private school voucher program really took a big increase, like 33% for the high schools, 13% for those grade 8 and lower. And, again, it's a similar situation where, and we've seen it, you know, here in central Wisconsin and throughout the state as well, where, you know, more than a decade of austerity when it's come to the public school system, and now you get this bump up. I'm just wondering if, you know, 2 years from now, the GOP, assuming they're still in control of the legislature, will say, well, you know, we gave you the bump up a couple of years ago. But at the same time, we are funding two separate school systems here in Wisconsin, aren't we?
And you're also funding private schools with the voucher program, and they're not under any kind of control or any kind of evaluation from the state of Wisconsin. They're basically running on their own.
And also the basically where the public schools, they kind of have to.
Yes.
Bring, you know, you can't just say, well, you know, this student, we don't want any.
I went to public or private school, I should say, grades 1 through 8. Through my parish down in South Milwaukee, St. Adalbert's Church was...
Shout out
to St. Adalbert's, which right now the church isn't even there anymore. The building is now a mosque. Mm.
So I guess it really isn't a shout out.
Really can't shout out to that church where I was married and where, and all that kind of stuff. But the point, you know, that's beside the point. The point being is that my parents paid for that education because they wanted me to have a Catholic upbringing and a Catholic education. All right. So now you get done with eighth grade, which is basically, you know, middle of junior high school. So now you leave the private school deal into public schools because, well, they weren't going to pay for me to go to, a private high school. Had to kind of drew the line there.
Curious, do you remember which school that would have been? Which high school?
Thomas More is what it is now. It was, but that time is Pio Nono, was what it was the name of it. Well, and then intersected with St. Francis de Sales Seminary, and I don't want to get into more details about that. But I go to the junior high school, ninth grade, South Milwaukee Public Schools, and this is again just my, you know, situation there.
Sure.
But I got in there and I was not even a fish out of water. I was a fish out in the desert. Mm. The science, literature, so many things, and algebra, ding. Mm. I was, you know, not even in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. So it was big time struggle for me in ninth grade. I mean, it was like, and there were, and I remember talking to teachers and they would nod their heads, and they, well, we see that a lot. Hmm. Not that the kids, you know, in the private schools were not getting that good of an education. It was just that it was not consistent to where the public school kids were and where we are. If I would have went to, like, do a private high school, probably would have been seamless. Mm-hmm. But on the back end, I wonder, okay, now if we're going to go to a college, and if I want to in a public college,
right,
not a private college, how much of a, again, fire drill I'd have to go through.
It sounds like your family probably would have taken advantage of the voucher program, wouldn't it? Maybe.
You know, at that point in time in life, and again, we're talking about the 60s,
sure,
okay?
Right.
The separation of church and state was there.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the person who became president, elected in 1960 and sworn in 1961, was a Roman Catholic. And the biggest issue of that election was whether a Catholic could lead this country, because they were afraid that he was going to be taking, you know,
orders
from the Pope. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I mean, I remember hearing those when I was even a little kid, and I'm going, well, why not? That's okay. The Pope's okay. You know, because, you know, but that was the big argument back then.
Right.
So I could not even, that wouldn't even been considered in the 60s. Or even in the 70s, or probably not even in the 90s, you know, that we should help fund people who want to go because they don't want to go to public schools because they feel they get a better education in the private schools. Well, my folks thought I could get a better Catholic education in, you know, where they, but after that, it was like, they went, well, let's go to public schools because they're paying for the public schools anyway through their taxes.
I don't think it's sustainable. I mean, again, this 33% increase, and even if you look at where the additional funding for the public schools are coming, basically they're, again, asking local taxpayers.
Mm.
And, you know, good luck asking taxpayers to raise their own local taxes over and over again. Something's going to give eventually, isn't it?
With that same mentality that you talked about people paying into something that they have nothing to do with, just as an aside, take, for example, a person like myself who has no children of his own, okay, but I pay for taxes that support public schools, and I'm the first to want them to be supported, mm-hmm, to educate the next generations, to make this a better place and a more perfect union, I guess, which is the political terminology on that. But, you know, the private schools had their ways of doing things, and that's the separation of church and state was so defined back then, there was not even a thought of that even being part of the discussion.
And frankly, this, you know, what we see today, if you would have made a proposal for something like this, it would have been exceptionally unpopular, wouldn't it?
And not only that, the schools, the private schools, they would just be aghast that we don't want, you know, your funding, and that we'll take care of our, you know, own. They're paying the tuition to be these children or these students to be taught here. You know, we'll figure it out how to make this work on our own.
And even if there was some sort of aspect of vouchers or funding, it's just the level. I mean, it's almost to the level of what they're giving to the public schools. I mean, it really, truly is. It's up. It's very close now. Yeah. And it's just, in Wisconsin right now is, in the United States of America, one of the largest, you know, voucher programs. Oh. And you saw the celebrations from Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu and others on the GOP side as part of this deal. They got a lot, again, bipartisanship, but they got a lot of what they really wanted in this bill.
What if an organization started up a private school that was based on being an atheist?
Good luck.
Well, I'm throwing it out there.
Well,
it's a private school.
Well,
would we, you know, be eligible for vouchers?
I almost see the court case right now because they would be arguing that's not. But again, I don't. But you could say the same thing. What, you know, for Muslim schools.
Correct.
I mean, really, it's like along the same line. And
I'm just throwing it out there in a hypothetical.
It is. It's a very, it's an exceptionally interesting hypothetical. And I think there's ideas on what the thought process.
Well, again, I'm not, and if people think that I'm against private schools, Catholic schools.
No.
I am not so. Newman is a fine school, and they do a great.
There.
And I've got nothing but love and appreciation for the work that they do. I'm not against them. What I'm saying is, there's a fairness that has to be leveled here. And right
you
now,
you should have the same rules. Number one,
right?
You know, that's a very big factor because
I know when I went to public schools and when I got into science class, and I was lost in space. I'm telling you, I was treading water at ninth grade year, and it was tough.
Huge budget surplus, and Robin Voss is on a crusade to cut funding to the University of Wisconsin system because he does not like diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. His comments at the Republican Party convention, the state convention in La Crosse over the weekend, was, again, I still have this naive hope that our leaders will treat us all like adults, but he was just throwing out the red meat and that basically implying that the left, the new religion is DEI, and anybody that's around business knows that DEI is an important aspect for a lot of businesses in order to make sure that their recruiting is up to speed. And now Voss is trying to tie the idea of eliminating DEI to getting much-needed funding to the UW system. And again, it just, Robin Voss is an enigma to me in a lot of ways. I mean, people have said he's an intelligent man, but boy, he is sometimes just, I don't know.
Well, the Robin Voss is not as important as the minds of the people of the state of Wisconsin and of throughout the country to realize that there's more to being a part of this great democracy than just being white and just being religious and just being straight and just being... No, the world is not built that way.
It's about protecting the hierarchy. That's what it is.
I look at it, I learned more when I got out of private school. I learned so because I've been with these students, these same students for 8 years, basically.
Right.
These same. And when we went to the public schools, in fact, just talking to a friend of mine who we went through grade school together, and once we hit high school, my friend went one way and I went the other way. And it took us 40 years for us to kind of like get back. Hey, I saw you on Facebook. Hey, nice to tell you. We're having our 50th, reunion coming up next month. So, we'll see. We haven't seen each other for all that time. All that time. And it's like, where'd you go? I lived out in New Mexico for a while, and I was working in, and then I was in South Dakota. I was in Illinois, and I worked in here and here. It's amazing how the world opens up when you get out of the bubble.
Yeah.
And you start realizing, hey, there's a world out there. Better start living in it.
And that's along the same line that you said before. Again, if we want to keep people in the state, higher education is one of the big factors. I mean, again, if you run talented students out of state because for whatever reason, the odds of them coming back, much, much lower. And again, there's this, and one thing about this whole education debate that I've kind of mentioned from time to time, it feels as though Voss and other Republicans, when they talk about it, you should go to school, he says, basically, to be able to learn to be a member of the economic system, that basically be a cog in the system. Higher education, so much more than that. It's about being exposed to new topics and new ideas and to be able to do things you may never have thought of. That's what, for me, it was such an opportunity to do things I'd never thought of even trying. Life is not just about being a cog in the economic system, and that's what it sounds like he wants our university system to be. And I just, and again, I understand that, yes, it is important to be able to have the skills to be part of the workforce and what the economy, but it has to be more than that.
What he's hoping for is 1984. The book by George Orwell.
Yeah.
He just wants people that, you know, just stand in line, you know, this is what you do, this is where you'll work, this is what we'll pay you, this is, yeah, well, I have this dream that I'd like to write music. No place for
because they, in based his on world. What they're saying, that's exactly the case. Why would we have a music theory course in college? That won't do anything to help build the economy. I mean, it's again, it's about we are here for a short amount of time.
Yes.
I mean, we should be able to have a job, support our families, but also be able to experience things that open your mind and things that allow you to try things, again, that you may never have considered. Again, to have a narrow focus within higher education, holy cow. And also one of the factors that I think that the wider view of education is people learn to think better. And, mm-hmm. and in this system, as we come up in 2026, the 250th anniversary of this country, the only way this country, again, representative democracy, a republic, people have to be able to govern themselves, be able to think. And I think that if all
think
you're doing—
Think and participate.
Yes, and if all you are doing is trying to put people into an assembly line into— become a worker cog, a cog within the system, people are not going to be able to think, be part of this grand experiment that
we
have.
Yeah, and there are people out there who would we'd be very happy and content with, I'm putting in so many years at this place, and I've done this, you know, I've got my pension, and I've got grandkids, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, you know, the higher-ups and people of leadership tend to forget that, you know, it's creativity that made this happen. You know, those founding fathers that were sitting there writing this all up, you know, basically cutting themselves loose from old jolly old England and telling them, hey, we're going to do things differently. We're going to be, you know, and...
Again, opening it up.
Opening up.
The possibilities,
yeah.
Instead of narrow focus, it just, again, I think that's part of this discussion that beyond the dollar amounts that I'm worried about, that we're going to be so focused again on just making sure the economy is constantly growing. Again, that's not enough for life, in my humble opinion.
You know, the economy is important, but what's more important is that the growth of the human...
Yes.
Spirit, the humanity, the helping those less fortunate, not sitting there saying, what's in it for me type of an attitude. Let's, you know, be a little bit more observant of the folks who don't have the access, that don't have the luck on their side.
Yeah.
I wrote a comment about on Facebook. They're talking about that money going away for childcare. You know, out of the budget. And the person wrote, well, I didn't have that trouble, you know, when I was going, you know, in my early days, and I was able to make it work and all that kind of stuff. Why should we give money to people who can't make this work? And I says, well, congratulations that you were able to do that. But why are you so against others to give them a helping hand, because situations are never the same. You may have had the luxury of having an aunt or that who could take care of the kids. I mean, there's so many different variables. The point being is don't sit there and penalize somebody from advancing themselves professionally and educational-wise just because of the fact they may have children. Or they may have had, you know, things that, and this is the same party that's also wild and crazy about, you know, banning abortions. And it's like, I don't want to go in that direction. But folks, there's not a black and white here. There's a whole myriad of colors of things that are positive, negative, mm-hmm. and people got to find their way to success.
We got to take a quick time out. We'll come back with a few more minutes with Bob Look. Again, at 9:15, we'll be joined by Sean Wright from the Grand Theater and Performing Arts Foundation. The time is 8:52 here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Spending a few more minutes with Bob. Look, I got to talk about the Brewers because on your Facebook, people should check you out because you have you keep tabs on the Brewers.
The Brew Crew Review.
Brew Crew Review.
I usually write a new one every Thursday of the week. Sometimes I throw in extras when there's big news. But no, this is just an observation from the outside. I'm lucky enough to have, you know, friends that work still in the Milwaukee media, and we kind of go back and forth and bounce off ideas. Last night I was on Twitter with a couple of guys from Milwaukee. This is right before Winker hit the home run, mm-hmm. you know, and one of the persons who was writing on there says, When are they gonna give him the Singleton heave ho, you know? And it was like no more than 5 seconds, and bang! And I wrote back to him on Twitter, "Hallelujah!" And he just, you know, just went back. Isn't it amazing how when we start really ripping somebody,
he needed that little push from social media.
Yeah, they needed from us. You know, like we're taking credit for this.
What do you think right now? Because right now, obviously, they're in second place, right behind Cincinnati. I mean, for those people that are not of our generation, the idea of the Cincinnati Reds being a great team, though, I mean, they had the big red machine back in the 70s, one of the greatest teams,
Johnny,
I think.
Bench and Joe Morgan.
And then Lou Piniella took them to a World Series championship in 1990. But for Pete the most Rose. Part, in the last few decades, they have not been good. They got this young rookie. Since he's come up, I think they're 10-0, if I'm not mistaken, since he came up. But I'm glad to see, again, a market that's a good baseball market. It's a great baseball town. And it looks like, you know, they look like they could be the real deal to me.
And it's actually a really good ballpark. If you ever get to Cincinnati, go to the games there.
The Great American Ballpark.
It's a really nice ballpark. Very comfortable.
But generally for the Brewers, as they sit right now, obviously the Central Divisions in both leagues are kind of, to be kind, mediocre. Yeah,
but it's now.
But what do you think? Do you think the Brewers are in a good position at this
point? They're all right. They're in the perfect division to be able to win a division. You know, it's not a real strong division. But the point being is, you know, we talked about that the last time we were here. The how much effort or financial backing is going to come down the pike once we get to All-Star break time and the end of July, which will be the last trades or movement that can be done for teams.
Will they be a buyer?
Well, will they be a buyer or will they be a seller? From now until the third week of July is basically going to be the big call. The fact that Wade Miley got back, you know, and he's you know, healthy enough to pitch, good veteran presence, getting some people back that are a little bit more healthy. Christian Yelich, let's not kid ourselves, he's playing and hitting the ball pretty darn good again. Thank you. It's been a long wait. But, again, baseball goes in ebbs and flows and hot streaks and just consistency is what I'm looking for the Brewers. And they've got enough pitching. And who would have said, you know, some of these guys are coming in late in the games to hang on to, you know, Strzelecki and people like, who are these people? But there they are. And so, let you know, see what happens.
Hey, great to have you in.
Yeah.
Do it again in a couple weeks. I would love that.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm gone next week, so.
Yeah, where are you going?
Going to Vegas.
Ah!
I play in a tournament.
You're going to play some poker out there?
I play every year one World Series of Poker tournament.
Oh, cool.
So Saturday morning,
Texas Hold'em, right?
Yep, I will be hitting the table Saturday morning, so.
When I
win the $1 million, I'll have a big party.
I hope that the cards fall your way, boy. I'll tell you, that's fun.
Thanks, Bob. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. More to come.